the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm 84 today. We will cover Psalm 84 and 85. This is our 33rd study in the book of Psalms, and Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 84, verse 1. How amiable, or how desirable, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now, here you have a man who loves God. And here in verse 1, he is talking about having nice memories of public worship with God's people at the Holy Temple. He just loved it. And he thought about it. And there's something wrong with a Christian who doesn't like to go to church. Either that or something wrong with the church. But if the church is preaching the Word of God and they're worshiping God, then there's something wrong with a Christian who doesn't want to be there. This guy couldn't wait. Notice verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He just hungered and thirsted to connect with the Lord. He couldn't wait, especially to get to the house of God, because he knew that in that place, like no other, there would be a God focus. And that's the thing that he looked forward to. Now, you know what? If a church doesn't have a God focus, if it has a pastor focus or a denominational focus, I don't want to be there. I have no desire to go there. And it's a chore to go there. But if it's a God focus and God is being taught and God is being worshipped, well then, there should be a desire in a Christian to be there. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The sparrows, which had their nest around the house of God, around the temple, had it made according to the writer. He envied the sparrows who lived around the temple because they could fly into the temple area anytime they wanted to. They could fly over, pick up a spare crumb from the holy altar anytime they wanted to, and sparrows had it made. He wished he was a sparrow. Verse 4, blessed are they who dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Selah. He's saying, boy, those people who live in the temple and work in the temple have it made because they can worship God all the time. They're so close to the presence of God all the time. And there were people, Levites, who lived in the temple complex. And he envied them as well. He says, they're in God's house all the time. And that's true. But it's true for Christians also. We have it even better than they did. We do not live in the temple. We are the temple. And so we can have a good time with God anytime we want to because he is actually in us. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, or blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Zion speaks of the presence of God and the place of worship. He says, you're blessed if in your heart there's a highway to Zion. There's a pathway to worship and a pathway and a highway to God. He says, you're blessed if that's you. And so do you want to be happy as a Christian? Make it your greatest desire to worship God, to obey God, to fellowship with God. Make it your greatest desire to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Be good all the time. Never say anything bad. Never do anything bad. You'll be happy. When we do that, we're going to be happy. But we won't do it unless we at least aim for it. That's why it's so important to have that highway of Zion in our soul. In other words, that determination, that drive in our heart to worship God and to put Him first. And notice the type of people that are that way, notice the effect they have on others. 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Baca speaks of weeping. It means weeping. It means sadness. He's saying good people who love Jesus, good people who have that heart for God and that hunger for the Lord can help change sad places into good places just by their presence. Jesus in and through us can bring refreshment if we truly put Him first and truly have a desire for God. 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. When a Christian decides, that's it, I'm not horsing around anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus with all I've got. Even when temptation comes, I don't care. That Christian will see spiritual growth like they never thought possible. This is what it's talking about in verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them. That's people who have that heart for God and that determination to worship God and be close to God. They go from strength to strength. Spiritual growth. Verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in the courts, in thy courts, is better than 1,000. This is a great verse. One day spent with God in His house is better than 1,000 anywhere else. And what he is saying is, one day spent in close fellowship with you, God, is better than 1,000 days doing anything else, anything at all. Now that is the attitude of one who has a heart for God. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He is saying the poorest person in the world. The poorest person in the world who has a close walk with Jesus is richer than a billionaire who doesn't. The poorest person in the world who has a close walk with Jesus feels rich. And I've never been a billionaire. I've never even been a millionaire. I've never even been half that or a quarter of that or a tenth of that or whatever. But I know what it's like to feel rich. And so does this guy. You can be rich without having a buck in your wallet. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusteth in Thee. What a great verse. No good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. God is generous when it comes to giving good things to His obedient people. Of course, God decides what is good and what is not good. Because if it was up to some people, they would gorge themselves on things that they like, gorge themselves on things that seem good, but really are not good. But if it's good, truly good, and you're obedient, God will fill you with it. He loves to do that. Psalm 85, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. He's been favorable to His people, the Bible says. And God enjoys doing that. He loves to bless His people. God enjoys giving His people good times as much as they enjoy having them. The Bible says that His eyes go to and fro throughout the land, seeking for someone that He can show Himself strong toward. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. When God's people repent, He's more than happy to forgive. He doesn't withhold forgiveness from anyone who repents. He forgives, and then He puts those sins someplace where He will never see them again. He's forgiven the iniquity of His people. He covers all of their sin. He takes those sins, He removes them, He puts them someplace far away where He'll never see them again. He covers them. 3, Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. And of course He would turn Himself away from the wrath if those sins that He was angry about previously were forgiven and removed. Well, sure. If God doesn't see any sin on our soul, He has no reason to be angry at us. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ removes our sin as well as our punishment. Because once the sin has been removed, the punishment is no longer needed. 4. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. It's great to be forgiven. but it's great to be restored too. It's great to be forgiven, but then it is important to add love for God to our cleansed soul. God forgives you, He cleanses your soul, then start adding love for God to that cleansed soul of yours. That's very important, because that'll keep that soul from getting dirty again, and that's what it means to be restored. 5. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? And of course, God has a right to be angry at us forever. All of us. He has a right to hold an eternal grudge, to be angry at us forever, for even committing one sin against His holiness. And His discipline may seem to go on for a long, long time. Too long sometimes, because it is difficult. And evidently the writer here, he thought it was going on too long. But you know what? It only lasts as long as it needs to for our good and for God's justice. 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And God does revive us when we repent. He gives us a fresh start. He gives us a fresh start. He forgives us our sins. He gives us a fresh start. He cleanses our soul. That makes it possible to be happy again. That makes it impossible to enjoy His company again. And that is revival. That's what it's all about. 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. God shows man how much He loves them each time He forgives a repenting sinner and saves them from hell. That's the most loving thing God could possibly do. Verse 8, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. God gives His people joy. God gives His people peace if they stop sinning. That is, if they turn not again unto folly, as this verse says. There is no peace for the lukewarm Christian. Some of the most miserable people in the world are people who say they are Christians, who go back and forth between God and sin, God and sin. That's a recipe for sadness. Verse 9, surely His salvation is near those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Salvation is near those who fear God. In other words, salvation is close to those who fear God. They're not quite there. Just because they fear God doesn't mean that they're saved, but they're close. In other words, they're on the right track. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now all they have to do is cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Let that fear of God be just the first step that causes you to cry out to God for mercy. 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Some people hide the truth about their sin. They won't admit their sin. They won't confess their sin. Some people hide the truth about their sin because they do not want to be punished. That's wrong thinking. That's total opposite of how they should be thinking. If we confess our sin, God will forgive. In other words, if we admit our sin to God, we come clean, we confess it to God, then He will forgive, then He will show mercy. He will not punish, but instead He will show mercy. But the Bible says that those who hide their sins do not prosper. 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. We cannot become righteous enough to please God on our own. It comes from heaven. It is a gift from God to us. It is ours by God's enabling grace. Verse 12. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. It is God who controls the rain and sunshine and the ground that produces crops. And it's not just the farmers who should give thanks for the crops. It is all of us, because without God's blessing, we would all starve. Because he wouldn't send the rain, he wouldn't send the sun, he wouldn't cause the crops to grow in the ground. 13, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Righteousness shall go before him. Righteousness or justice shall go before him. That means righteousness and justice is the path that God follows. He's always on that path of justice and righteousness. If there is a righteous way to do something, you will find God doing it that way. He will never do it a different way. Next time, Psalm 86. Until next time, so long, everyone.